going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
The biggest mystery of the NFL draft was solved on Saturday, but it doesn't mean that all the questions were answered. That's for sure. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. And of course, Pearl, I'm talking about now the most famous number pick 144 probably in the history of the NFL. That's Shedeur Sanders. Falls to the fifth round. He gets drafted by the Cleveland Browns. So he's walking into a quarterback room of Joe Flacco, Kenny Pickett, Dylan Gabriel, and himself, which sounds like a bad dinner party. I don't know. Why do you think Shedeur Sanders fell all the way to the fifth
round? Yeah, I don't think it's a great mystery because once he fell out of the first round, now that's a discussion. Once he fell out of the first round, what team wants to bring in a later round pick that has all this heat around them? That there are no other guys who fell. Luther Burden, who fell out of some people's first round mock drafts, did not have President Trump making notes about how you have to draft this guy. He's not partying with rappers and having everybody pay attention to him. So he is not. It does not fit the profile of what teams want in a backup quarterback. There's just so much heat around him. All the teams are like, nah, we're not bringing this in. And the ironic part is all the hot takes after he fell through day one probably doomed him to day three, because a lot of teams are like, I'm not taking him in the third round. Look at how much attention he got for falling out of the first round.
Yeah.
So I think it was I think the attention is ultimately, which is why he fell all the way to the fifth.
Yeah, and it just keeps building on itself. You're right. I'd forgotten about that. The tweet about President Trump, because I tweeted out, when does Deion Sanders start making phone calls around the league to try to help, you know, Shedeur as he's falling, and someone sent me the Trump tweet. And I was like, well, I meant like Jerry Jones. I didn't mean call in president of the free world to try to, you know, drum up support for Shedeur. I will maintain that this is the Sanders' fault. And I don't know how it can be looked at any differently.
Right.
Like, there are some people, I think, who want to blame, I'm going to call it environmental factors. You know, you want to talk about, like, Deion's celebrity or Shedeur's getting blackballed or something like that. I don't think it's like that. I think what it started off as football. I think the evaluation of Shedeur inside the league was not what was getting portrayed in the media, partly because Deion has a lot of friends in the media. Mm. And there was also a thing where you didn't want to tick off Deion publicly because he'll go to Twitter or he'll go on camera and he'll clap back at you. And so I think it started with the football evaluation was so wildly off from what was being reported in the mock drafts versus what was really going on behind the scenes. So that was number one. It started football.
I agree. Definitely agree with that, that Deion has friends in the media and you saw who they were.
And they weren't doing him any favors, though, because I think that they were kind of, you know, covering for Shedeur to and look at what happened. It even fooled Deion and their camp into thinking they had the world by the you-know-what and that they could afford to mess around with this process where they didn't have to throw at the combine and didn't have to make a big deal, go to the East-West Shrine game but not play in the game.
And not go to the Senior Bowl.
And not go to the Senior Bowl.
Which is the more important postseason game.
Right, especially for guys, as it turns out, when you're actually more of maybe a second or third round guy or a fourth or fifth round guy, you got to work the circuit. You know, you got to nail every interview. You know, from all accounts, what's funny about this is Dylan Gabriel is not a better quarterback than Shador. All due respect to our friends in Eugene and Norman and UCF. We like Dylan Gabriel. According to people I talked to, he nailed these interviews, which may have been a reason why he kind of jumped up on the Browns draft board and Shador went down. That's just one example. When you're a fringe, you know, when you're not the second quarterback off the board or the first, let's be honest, you've got to put the work in and you really got to like sell yourself.
Yeah.
And clearly Shador didn't do that. Clearly Deion and the whole camp thought they just were going to, you know, call their shot here. So it started with football and then they just botched the pre-draft process more than anyone could have thought. And if you looked at Andrew Berry and the GM of the Browns, his face, when they put in the war room and his like golf clap on the Shador, it didn't make sense that they drafted him anyway because Gabriel was there 50 picks earlier and they took him. It looked like a hostage situation. Pearl, I think most people believe that the owner of the Browns is the one who made this pick, not the front office.
Yeah, oh, I definitely agree with that. Although, I think Andrew Berry looked like that at every pick. By the way, Dylan Gabriel was a... Can we just say he was a better...
I like him.
He was a better college quarterback than Shador.
But no one had him at... Well, again, everyone was so off on the mock drafts that I...
Yeah, I mean, but there were Dylan Gabriel stands left. I think Dylan Gabriel was an odd case because he was amazing at Oregon and amazing in Oklahoma. He was third in Heisman voting this year. He was definitely, like, prolific. So
that's
I just
fine.
Don't...
He's 5'11".
Yeah, he's 5'11". I think Dylan Gabriel is a very interesting player. I think a lot of people, like, if he wasn't in this mess of Cleveland, they'd be like, ooh, that's interesting.
He'll win the locker room over. Like, he's that kind of guy.
He's got it. I think he's much more physically talented than people think he is. I think the ball booms off his hand. I know he's 5'11", but I think he's Tua 2.0. Anyway, regardless of that, like, that's the thing. Like, why he's now caught up in this vortex of Shador, which actually leads me to the next question. Is this going to last? Like, are the Browns going to have pressure to play Shador? Because look at all the pressure to draft him. Is President Trump going to tweet in week four?
Oh, my goodness.
Why isn't he in there? Are the NFL Network people who are loyal to Deion? Like, that's what teams are worried about, that if you drafted him in the third round and you didn't play him, second round especially, and you didn't play him, then you're going to have all the Deion people in the media saying, what's going on here? Why aren't you benching Derek Carr for Shador?
Right.
So I think that teams don't want that extra pressure.
I think we're asking, why do you think that Shador Sanders fell ultimately? Because nobody saw fifth round. It was shocking when he fell out of the first round. Second round came and went. My jaw was on the floor. And I know that you've done a lot of reporting on this, Pearl, and research into it and why it hasn't happened. I know second round quarterbacks are not that popular. It doesn't happen very often. Usually,
well, and why?
Well, usually because the teams want the fifth year option.
No. Oh. Because they don't want the pressure to have to start this guy because they took him high. So they're like, I'm not dealing with a second round quarterback. I don't want that looming over the shoulder of my starter. So right. You don't take him in the second. Just let him fall to the third so you know he has a backup. So he's comfortable being a backup, right? There's too much sizzle with a second round
quarterback. Yeah, and I also think if you like a quarterback enough, you do what the Giants did. You trade back into the first round. You trade in late, and now with these new rules, you get the fifth year option. But I'm curious if people think there are more sinister kind of things at play here with Shador. Like, I think there's a lot of people who think that he is not a party to this fall, that he's a victim in it, that it was coaching staffs who are insecure about having Deion over their shoulder, that it was, you know, profiling a guy who maybe does things in an unconventional way, especially at the quarterback position, you know. And listen, we've seen flashy guys before. Like, it's not, we've seen guys with podcasts. We've seen guys with famous dads.
Wait, who's a draft prospect who had a podcast? I know Micah Parsons has one now.
Kyle Hamilton and all the guys from Notre Dame started a podcast when they were like sophomores.
Kyle Hamilton, I promise.
I listened to it.
I'm telling you, he's like Lil Wayne on there and stuff.
They had whoever they had. They had their like teammates and coach Marcus Freeman. Guys had podcasts. Guys have had famous fathers. Guys
Shador had a bigger footprint for his podcast at the Super Bowl than we did. He had a gigantic Shador sign with a dollar sign through it. There's nobody who has had podcasts like Shador. That's ridiculous.
I'm just saying he had the combination of everything. We've had guys with podcasts. We've had guys with famous fathers. We've had guys who have been flashy. But you don't really see it at the quarterback position. Usually there's like a type of dude or a type of way you have to come off. Like, wide receivers can flash all they want. Abdul Carter had diamonds coming out of every orifice of his face. Nobody cares. It's the quarterback part of it.
Right.
It's coming off. You have to come off a certain way. I think people expect humility. The Johnny Manziels and Shadors are kind of outliers of guys who come out flashing the money signs and all of that. It's just, it comes with the position. And so I think there's a lot of reasons why he got kind of profiled. And people, I think, there's some people who are saying, well, that you got to take each thing individually. Yeah. It doesn't all add up to him being a bad guy.
President obviously. Trump got on Twitter and said teams are making a mistake. There's no other prospect like this ever. Johnny Manziel was like that. I think if Twitter was a little more advanced and was it 13 or 14, then you might have gotten a presidential tweet. But that's a good analogy. I like that. But generally, though, there's no other Shadors. Nobody's half this famous in this situation, or even close. Tebow was the other one. And Tebow got what was he picked? 20, 21?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I just think that there's no like comparisons. I hear what you're saying. You're saying break it down into individual, but as a package, there's never been a prospect like Shador Sanders. And I think that's why it's causing all this hubbub.
Yeah. And again, I'll go back to it. Sanders is only have themselves to blame. I think they botched this. I think there was a moment, many moments, where Shador could have combated what was the growing wave against him. You know? And I don't know how honest people were being to him, and maybe they weren't. And like, I actually thought at the beginning of the weekend, I'm like, you know what? I think he's actually handling this pretty well. He still did like performed his song at his party. He's still trying to keep a good attitude
here.
Oh,
right. Because that's a normal second or third round or fourth round pick thing to do.
But then I saw the party.
Yeah.
Was it Sunday night in Dallas? Big celebrity party. And I'm like, oh, come on. I'm happy you're happy. I'm happy that the video of you and Shiloh celebrating and you guys are dancing after you get drafted. You should be proud of yourself. You get drafted anywhere, you should be proud of yourself. Throw in the big party still? After people are wondering if you're like too lit to be in a quarterback room and you're going to throw a party and Dak Prescott and CeeDee Lamb and all these people are there. That's like, be happy, be proud of yourself. I think people wanted to see a little humility. You're not getting that. So either you like that or you don't, but you're not getting it either way. He's not going to change. And now we'll see what happens with the Browns. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. EJ, you wanted to get in on this conversation. Do you think this was the Sanders' fault or environmental factors at play, if you will?
I think the Sanders are at fault for his fall. I think that that's pretty clear, right?
Yeah.
There was some delusion as to what the NFL thought of him. I think the question that is maybe the larger issue is the NFL right in this assessment? That's the bottom line, right? Because we could talk all day about whether or not, he made a mistake or the Sanders made a mistake. That's obvious. He didn't want to be a fifth-round pick. Remember, he was saying that was fake news that he was falling in the draft. This was months ago, so clearly it wasn't.
Right.
So we know they got that wrong. Is the NFL right? I think that's where people are wrestling with because they look at a guy who we could talk about Dillon Gabriel's numbers. We could talk about all these guys' numbers, but the stuff Shador Sanders did and what we've been hearing for a year now is that this was a first-round pick.
Right.
How does a guy who was a first-round pick fall to the fifth round where we didn't see any arrests, we didn't see any drug issues.
No accusations.
We had no character concerns. How does that happen? Now, that's where the question comes. Did the NFL screw this up in terms of misassessing what is a confident young man who is brash, who is definitely into self-promotion, but by all accounts has been a good teammate and has won football games at a place that never won football games, basically, in the recent history. That's where I think the question lies, and that's where people are looking at this wondering what's going on.
Yeah, but I mean, do you think people ask the same questions when Tebow didn't get signed and when Colin Kaepernick couldn't get signed? I know there was a lot more going on with Colin Kaepernick, but do you think that there's the backup quarterback issue, too, once you get out of the first round.
The fame issue. The celebrity issue.
Yeah, the fame issue. The fact that every single reporter will flock to his locker after every practice. You know, Shador obviously equals clicks. So there's no doubt about that. So everybody's going to be all over this guy. I think that there are teams, right or wrong, that don't want that in their locker room.
Can I back this up, too? Because,
yeah.
I think that, EJ, you're right about there's no character concerns. You said no arrests, no accusations, no drugs, no alcohol, no any of that. But I think there were football character concerns.
Definitely.
So we need like a different word for it. It's not
like what?
Like
what
football character was that, you know, how great of a teammate was he? You know,
when he threw his lineman under the bus in the Nebraska game.
That I think there was, you know, if you don't interview well, it seems like you're blowing off interviews. Yeah. Or
there was a report that he had that meeting with Daboll where he apparently wasn't prepared. Like Daboll gave him an install and yeah, he wasn't ready for it, didn't understand. And then, you know, according to Todd McShay, he didn't handle that well.
And I feel like Daboll kind of put his name on it because McShay called it. Usually he'd be like, there was one coach who said, blah, blah. He's like, Brian Daboll told me.
So now we're buying that McShay report, but we couldn't buy the Pelissero report?
No, this is what I'm saying. It's not character like of society, but I think football character was certainly something that led to his fall.
But I thought we weren't allowed to take into account the negative reports.
Why weren't we?
Well, because Tom Pelissero came out there and the entire media world came down like a hurricane on him.
Well, the one thing about McShay's is it's not anonymous. He said Brian Daboll. Now, the one thing that was anonymous is that Shador took a FaceTime call in a meeting and like didn't get off the FaceTime call when he was also in. Like, that's anonymous. That I think you take with a grain of salt. McShay said Brian Daboll told me he couldn't perform on the whiteboard.
Yeah, I know. It's interesting. So we are allowed to. It's interesting. Like, we weren't allowed to create a character profile on Thursday. Like, that was verboten. Everybody.
Well, this didn't come out until Friday.
I don't know. It just feels like if we're going to get into the character game, let's get into it. If we're not going to get into it, let's not get into it. I felt like the media has been acting really weird about this in the sense that Tom Pelissero had an anonymous scout who ripped Deion's football character. Exactly like you said. Shador's. Sorry, I keep saying Deion. Interesting. But and then everyone said, oh, put your name on it. Good reports, people are generally not going to put your name on it. And you can't, that whole thing about not having, so we're never going to have anonymous tips again. Like, the entire journalism world has gone to, you know, the most famous report of all time was an anonymous report. Of course you could have anonymous reports. Otherwise, guys aren't going to say anything. But if we're allowed to, Joe Klatt said you cannot create these narratives about kids. And now we're creating a narrative about Shador.
Listen, I think you did have someone who put their name on it. Brian Daboll did put his name on it. So
via Todd McShay.
Via McShay, but like, that's because if you're going to ask Brian Daboll about it in a press conference, he's not going to take the time on the Giants' dime to address this because Shador is not part of their organization. But I do think you did have a coach who actually did put their name on it. I think it's fine to have an eyebrow a little bit raised with anonymous quotes, but I think we saw it bear out, you know? And here's the thing about creating like a profile of someone or a narrative of somebody. None of us are all one thing. You know, like, you could have, you know, questionable football character. I thought, you know, we're going to get into the Jeff Ulbrich's son, Jax, being the guy who prank called Shador at one point during the draft. Shador took his call. I thought that showed high character. No, not everybody's one thing. So I think that's why we're human beings. We're all complicated. We have contradictions. We're flawed. So it's hard to create the full scope of a person. But you can also have a report where Brian Daboll says you came in and you messed up the meeting. And that can be real.
I just
got to
be honest. Like, one thing, Daboll didn't exactly say that. I mean, McShay said it. I'm not sure that is exactly putting your name on it. But whatever. I understand what you're saying. The other thing, too, though, but we have no idea about character because the highest character quarterback in the history of the NFL was Deshaun Watson. Because he paid for lunch for the people in the cafeteria. So again, we don't really know the first thing about these people. That, I think, is a historical fact about the NFL. Character is impossible to evaluate. And I think teams even have trouble. And they have 20 times the information we have. And they don't even know what the guy's going to be like until they get in the building. So I think that's part of the reason. Like, it's hard to really figure out who should, to EJ's point, I think it's really hard to figure out, did the NFL mess this up because they misevaluated Shador's character?
Listen, and the other part is we see guys who obviously have clear red flags and they get drafted high anyway.
Right.
Look what the Ravens did. You know,
quarterbacks that have had clear red flags, they get drafted anyway.
Right. So sometimes the NFL puts a lot of stock into it. Sometimes they don't. It all depends on talent. I know.
I mean, Mike Green fell. And
he did fall, but not to fifth round.
Yeah. No, but he probably fell 20 spots because of
sexual assault allegations. Yeah. One going back to high school, one in college.
James Pierre. Like, a lot of guys do fall. But No, you're right. Shador is a different case. That's the other thing, though. We really don't know Shador. And we don't really know what he's going to be like in that building. I don't think anyone knows. He's never played for another coach. We are really stepping into a very unknown situation.
And the fact that it's the Browns, we'll get to that aspect too. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Never change, Browns.
What a disgrace.
We see you guys on the phones. Tell us, did the NFL get this right? Why do you think Shador fell? It's all here for you on this Monday morning. 888-710-4ISN.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff. I think hour one of the show is exactly why Shador Sanders did not get drafted in the second or third round.
You're blaming us?
Yes, because look how many phone calls we have over a fifth round pick. It's amazing the attention on this guy. If you're the Cleveland Browns and you don't play this guy at some point, you are going to have a revolution on your hands. I just think it's really interesting. He just gets so much attention. We were talking last night. Was this the highest rated second round in the history of the NFL draft? I mean, this is white hot. So teams probably said, I don't want that in the building. I really think that the attention became overwhelming, and Cleveland can handle it probably because they took Johnny Manziel and they were used to this a little bit. They had OBJ.
They courted it.
Yeah, I think that that's one team who actually this is not such a downside to have all that attention in the building because, like, what do they have to lose?
Well, I mean, at some I think what they have to lose is everyone's going to get fired. I don't.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And I don't think any of these quarterbacks are going to work. How about that?
Well, the funny thing, they're definitely going to be in play for the number one pick next year, too.
Right. So that was smart. I mean, you trade out with Jacksonville.
Yeah.
That was the day one story. We were all praising the Browns. Then the Dylan Gabriel and Shador Sanders, they took two running backs. I mean, we can get into it. It all, the whole picture is not that pretty, although you do have that first round pick in 2026. That's kind of nice. Let's get to you guys. You heard what we had to say. If you're just tuning in, I'm blaming the Sanders family here. Totally misjudged this entire thing. And I think, you know, they treated the pre-draft process like it was a luxury. And clearly that hurt them. London is in Chicago. Good morning, London. How are you, sir?
Hey, Maggie. Hey, Pearl. I talked to you guys the other day, man. I'm happy to be back. I'll make it quick. I actually heard two things you said. I want to address that first and, you know, I get going. Why can't he have his draft day party? They already paid for it. Like, he should be able to do whatever he wants to do. No, seriously.
Yeah.
He should be able to do whatever he wants to do. Now, I understand that, you know, reputation and image and perception. I get all that. But, man, let the boy have his party, man. At the end of the day, it's probably paid for. I'm not going to parlay the point on that. Then also, this he has to be humble. And I'm not race baiting, but I'm going to be honest. I'm tired of that. I've heard that from everybody. What is he doing that is not, I guess, considered not him not being humble? Nobody has truly identified that. And I'm telling you what's going to happen. Now, granted, because you posed the question to the audience. You said, well, what was the question? You said, did the NFL buy
right.
this or did they get it right?
Yeah.
I think that the NFL got it wrong. I think in parts the Sanders family got it wrong. I think it's a complete tragedy. I'm going to tell you why. Because right now, the Cleveland Browns organization, I feel really, truly sorry for them because the mess that they're about to have on their hands, because I'm going to be honest with you, this has transcended sports. You got I just saw church sermons yesterday about this topic.
Yeah.
Listen to what I'm telling you, man.
Yep.
Wait, hold on. But London, can I just address the two things here? So first how is he not humble? I mean, London, you can't be serious, right? I mean,
but this is what I'm saying. What do you mean humble? He should be able to wear his jewelry.
That's
this is America, man.
No, that's
he should
fine.
Be able to do whatever he wants to do. I haven't seen him kill anyone, sell a drug. I haven't seen him doing anything negative.
Yes.
Now, if you, London, you have a pink.
Wait, hold on, London. That's all well. I'm agreeing with you. Wear the jewelry. Nobody cares about that anymore. But you have to be humble when you're actually in the interview with the NFL teams.
We need to see that damn interview.
They put their name on it, dude. Like, I'm not trying to argue with you about this point that neither one of us were there for, but this one was not anonymous. So I do want to make that clear.
I'm just saying that's been the – I'm not debating you. I'm just saying that's been the thing that they are saying happened. And we just hearing – sound bites and people said, like, we, because at this point, everybody's saying he had a horrible interview. I'm not just pro Shador Sanders. I'm just saying in general, we just got, like, right now, this is, and I'm going to be honest,
it's secondhand.
This is what's making this divisive. This is literally what's making his device. And I'm telling you this. The reason with Cleveland, if they give him a fair shake and it's perceived as he does, that he's not getting one, all hell is going to break loose.
Wait, Linda, can I just flip this on its head for a second? If all of this, if he was actually amazing in all these pre-draft interviews, if everything was perfect, everything was awesome, he's up on the whiteboard, he's crushing it, he's there, he's just making this huge impression, then why would he fall?
Well, I mean, to say Manziel.
One word.
Dion.
Okay. You know it. Come on, you know it.
Okay, but I don't think it's just one thing. Lennon, sorry, I just want to get to a lot of people here. You're making great points. We love when you call. I'm not trying to argue about it, but I do think that this almost feels a little like on the set with Mel Kiper Jr. and some of the other guys, where Mel's like, the NFL's getting this wrong, the NFL's getting this wrong. And everyone's like, well, this is the evaluation. It's hard to say all 32 teams who keep passing on him. If someone really thought he was a first-round talent and someone really thought that he killed it in the interview, he'd be on a team earlier than the fifth round.
Johnny Manziel famously killed his interviews.
Right.
Like, was perfect because he could act. And he went up in Jacksonville and just blew them away. And they passed on him because they knew about the character stuff. And he fell to 21. So it's not like the NFL teams are savvy. And I totally agree. We could play that McShay thing. I still think that is definitely secondhand information. And I think that is their viewpoint of it. I'm not sure Dion and Shador see that interview the same way.
Let's go to D, who's in Dallas. D, you don't think this has anything to do with Deion Sanders?
Yeah, it's so much to unpack, and it's not going to be coming from a friendly spot. Maggie, I believe, you know, it's your job to paint this narrative, but it's one reason why he failed. And now, magically, Deion's Twitter fingers from 2 years ago is forcing you guys to evaluate this man and for him to be able to be an NFL quarterback. Everybody has been saying this, and now you're saying now just because it's his dad is Deion, this is the reason why his evaluation. And then for this Brian Daboll interview, he couldn't evaluate a quarterback in his own building for 2 years, and now you're telling me I need to go by what this cat's saying? No, you guys are way off. It's one thing, it's control, and that's exactly what it is. You couldn't control him or couldn't have – he didn't act the way that you wanted him to act, Maggie, or he didn't do the things that you wanted him to do. No, this kid has done everything.
It's not me.
No, that's what you're saying, that he can't have a party. He should be humble. No, this is what you guys want to control. Deion Twitter fingers 2 years ago didn't put this kid as one of the top quarterbacks in the draft or coming up in the draft coming up 2 years ago. This is what his performance did. And now it's something else. Now it's his interview skills. It's all about control, and that's what this is about.
D, it's a fair point to say he doesn't fit the traditional mold of what a quarterback projects themselves to be. We don't ever know, really. But, like, D, thank you for the call. Look at how Cam Ward kind of handled this whole pre-draft process. It was very, very different. And I think that's more in line with what we're used to. But as far as the party, so I just want to make sure I'm clear about this. I said I thought it was great that they were celebrating when he got drafted, right? Because he should be proud of himself that he did get drafted at all. It's such a huge accomplishment. No, it's such a 0.00001 of the population. I think that the party, the big party afterward, to me, like, it didn't match, I guess is what I'm saying. It didn't match. Be excited, but then get your butt to Cleveland. And I'm sure he's going to be there. I'm sure he's there yesterday, right? You want to get there, get in the room, and people didn't think you were being serious about this draft process. And then, I don't know if you prove, like, you have to overcompensate maybe now. Guys, that's the reality. Or you don't, and just keep going on the way you're going, and we'll see what his career becomes. But there, you guys, like, in real life, there can be course corrections here. You realize, hey, I came off a certain way. It led to a negative outcome for me, potentially. Do I want to change that? Do I not want to change that? He's not changing it. So there you go.
I feel like there's two sides to this, right? So I think there's a side to, like, I bet you almost every other fourth or fifth round pick had a massive party. Maybe not with celebrities, maybe not at a club, but everybody that gets drafted has some massive party where hundreds of people are there. That happens.
So, but not everybody. Joe Thomas was fishing when he got
it. Yeah, I mean, I think
those guys.
Yeah,
too.
True. But I think there's an expectation for a lot of players, wherever round you're having, that you're going to have a huge party when you get drafted. So I could understand people feeling like he should be able to celebrate how he wants. I think there's a flip side too that I do agree with what you're saying is, we have this mindset, and I think it's a young people mindset, where they feel like, I should be able to do what I want to do, be who I want to be, and I'm going to stand on business and let the people react to me or let them handle themselves. The problem with that is if you want to stand on your principles of who you are, that means also facing the negative that comes with that, right?
So the reality.
Right, the reality that this is a place of work where they expect their people to act a certain way. I'm a school teacher who teaches college students, and I deal with this all the time, where people feel like I should be able to come to class late. I should be able to come to class wearing a sports bra. I should be able to come to class, like, oh, I see all the craziest things you ever see, right? And it's like, I understand you feel like this is your place of comfort and this whatever, but there's also a professional side to this. So right. I think that young people in general are going to have to deal with this. This is a reality.
But how come, EJ, he's the only young person in the entire NFL draft, and he's actually on the older side, that had to deal with this?
Because he's a quarterback. I think that's why.
But there were 10 other quarterbacks who got drafted, and none of them, they're all young, and none of them had any of these issues, right? I mean,
Maybe they didn't present those issues.
But they decided not to present themselves this way because they decided to conform. I'm not saying all young people do this. I'm saying that because not everyone that I've ever taught has done this. It's usually a handful of people, right? But this is something I think we've seen, and I've talked to people who work in the professional world, and they say it all the time that the Gen Zers and the younger people that are coming into their offices, they're not like professionally ready. Like they don't seem to understand like how you conduct yourself in an office, how you conduct yourself with other coworkers, with bosses. Like we could talk about race now. I'm well happy to talk about that because I think that's a factor in this. But this is also a young people thing, I think.
Yeah, it might be. Also, Manny, by the way, speaking of young people, just enrolled in your class once you said the sports bra comment. It's like, what, chicks are coming to class in sports bras, and all of a sudden Manny's now back to school.
I don't understand. Quarterback prospects are so much more savvy than they were. They're so much more professional now than they were 15 years ago. That's the funny thing. Like, the irony is they're all ready to go. They're all media ready. They're all 100% ready. They all know the whiteboard. Like, they're all so much more professional now.
So we have the Todd McShay sound. Should we play it now, or you want to play it after Bogus? Let's play it now. So this is now what's getting a lot of attention about this infamously bad interview that Shador did with the New York Giants.
Shador didn't have a great interview with Brian Daboll in a private visit. An install package came in. The preparation wasn't there for it. Got called out on it. Didn't like that. Brian didn't appreciate him not liking it.
Just friction. Friction in a meeting, and it's just funny because, Pearl, it's one. They definitely put the name on it. They're explaining what it was. It's football, okay? This is not, it kind of is football character if you're not, you know, prepared for meeting, but you're talking about how these guys are more savvy than ever. That didn't sound like it, and we don't know. Shador may have had amazing interviews. Mm-hmm. We're not really hearing about the ones that came out and crushed it on the whiteboard, though, either.
Right, and we also don't know how many other quarterback prospects have issues with an install and they're not prepared, right? We're only hearing Shador. Like, we don't know how Jackson Dart did on every single one of his interviews.
Fair.
So that's the other thing that makes it so tricky.
Yeah, by the way, Dable's got to be like, Todd, what the heck, dude? Todd, what are you doing, man? That was definitely not planned out to be that way. You say Brian Daboll put his name on it. I guarantee you one thing. Brian Daboll did not want Todd McShay to say that because that is not something an NFL coach does. I guarantee you, if you think, Dable wanted to get a message out, no.
See you guys on the phones, 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Why did Shador Sanders fall? Do you think the NFL will get it right, get it wrong? The problem is, will we ever know, because it's the Browns, but let's get to Bogus. We'll get to that aspect of it. Bogus, other things happened over the weekend, didn't they?
They did. Headlines sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Your small business keeps you on the go. Progressive Commercial Insurance keeps your policy within reach with our easy-to-use mobile app. Learn more at progressivecommercial.com. In his third game back from that blood clot in his leg, this happened to Damian Lillard.
That one was off balance. Lillard volleyballs it over, and Lillard goes down with an injury. He's grabbing his high ankle of the left leg.
Ian Eagle on TNT. Lillard's left leg gave out as he changed direction to get to that long offensive rebound. He stayed down on the court holding that lower left leg as the play went in the other direction. Lillard put no weight on his leg as he was helped off the floor, eventually leaving the arena in a walking boot with crutches. There is nothing to spin here for Doc Rivers postgame.
Just being honest is not very promising. I knew it right away. Yeah. I felt bad for him. You know, the guy tried to come back for his team, and, you know, I just felt bad for him.
They wouldn't say it, but this has all the makings of a torn Achilles. The Bucks did not recover from the injury, losing at home to the Pacers 129-103, falling into a 3-1 series hole. The Celtics, a 107-98 win in Orlando for their own 3-1 lead. Jason Tatum, 37 points and 14 boards. The Knicks up 3-1 after surviving Game 4 in Detroit, 94-93. And Anthony Edwards led the T-Wolves from behind for a 116-113 win over the Lakers. Edwards scored 43. His team outscored L.A. 32-19 in that fourth quarter.
I feel like we took their best punches throughout the game and to start the third and then to end the third. So, and I felt like they was gassed going down the stretch. So just trying to, you know, keep my foot on the pedal and keep going.
So Minnesota takes a 3-1 lead back to L.A. for Game 5 on Wednesday night.
That's true.
I'm told this is huge news in the stadium naming rights circle. The Commanders and D.C. officials will announce plans this morning for a new stadium where RFK Stadium currently stands. The team expected to pay for the bulk of this project, which also will include developing the surrounding area.
Why is that a naming rights story?
Manny.
This is huge news in the stadium circles.
Well, in what sense?
Of which you are the circle.
It's not a stadium geography.
It's a dot. It's not a circle.
Yeah, it's a dot.
Are they going to call it RFK?
I've heard they're calling it the house that Jaden built.
Oh.
No, they'll probably call it like Evergreen Bank or whatever. Some crazy probably, like.
Yeah. What happened to FedEx? They're out?
Oh, they're long gone. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, it's Northwest Stadium now. Yeah.
Wow, Jaden Daniels.
Yeah.
By the way, thank God that I've been to wherever the stadium is.
Landover, Maryland.
That's where it is now. RFK is in D.C.
I've
been to that Commander Stadium twice. That's in Landover? Okay, yeah. Anyway, it's terrible. It's
I've been there. Where was I?
I didn't know. Honestly, it's so forgettable.
The new one.
The old one. The one that they're currently in is so awful.
The current one.
The new one is so cool.
The old one or the new one?
The new one is so cool. It's right by the soccer stadium. It's the most awesome area. Like, this is going to be a home run for Washington, right?
No, the soccer stadium is RFK. Isn't it?
No. The soccer stadium is down by Nationals Park.
Oh,
yeah,
God.
That's where it's right by RFK.
RFK is like on the other side.
No, I think they're close to each other.
The National Stadium is in Anacostia, which until very recently was a dicey part of D.C., which has been built up now. Right. It is gorgeous.
I think it's pretty easy to get. I think it's right in that, not too far away. They're going to build up RFK. It's going to be great. This is good. Yes, I don't know what they'll call it.
RFK, they're going to rebuild it. It's going to be a great stadium. I heard they're going to try to get a Final Four in there, so it's going to be a roof stadium. So,
oh, that's cool.
It's going to be looking nice.
I mean, you know who's going to be leading the pack for naming rights on the stadium?
Your boy.
Well, somebody who's put their name on buildings for decades and decades.
They are not close by any measure.
It's about 10 minutes.
Yeah.
10-minute drive.
Oh. Trump. Trump made a...
Oh.
Has put his name on more buildings than anything. You don't think he's going to try to get in on that?
I can't imagine that Josh Harris is going to let that happen.
Yeah. Or the NFL. Or people who need real money.
888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4476. Just golden escalators everywhere.
Wow, Jaden Daniels.
Golden toilets. Okay, we see you guys on the phones. You want to talk about Shedeur Sanders. So do we. Why do you think he fell to the fifth round? And ultimately, who's going to get the last laugh here? Like, who's going to be proven right? Is it... Not the last laugh. Who's going to be proven correct here? Is it the NFL, their valuation of Shedeur? Or is it going to be Shedeur? There's a world where most likely he has to get away from Cleveland probably for this to happen, but there's a world where he ends up having a productive career and everyone looks like an idiot. 888-710-4ISN. Let us know. It's M&P.
The Commanders.
Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Recapping the NFL draft, which had one big story going into it, Pearl, and there's one big story coming out of it, which is it was where Shedeur Sanders going to go when we sat there on Thursday, and now coming out of this thing on Monday, it's why did he fall so far down to the fifth round, pick 144, Cleveland Browns is the selection. It's a bizarre quarterback room because they took Dylan Gabriel about 50 picks ahead of him. And did the NFL get it right on this evaluation, or are they going to look silly? Jay is our pal in Nashville. Jay, what do you think? Why did Shedeur fall?
The Sanders family did it to themselves. And I was kind of upset when he didn't go in the first round. I was kind of like, you got to be kidding me. But as it got to the second or third round, like, I see what was going on. And I like for people thinking it's race and then other people. On one side, it's like a racial element. Then on the other side, it's just somebody sitting on a couch sipping pure Haterade or whatever. And but I think it's just the league sending a message. Because just like I was telling EJ when he screamed, it's like, look, these kids are coming out of college as multimillionaires already. So it's not like this is like this is not like Brian Bosworth flying in on a helicopter to practice. This is these kids are rolling up to practice with a Binks security truck. You know what I mean? Yep. Or a Visa Black card. You know, the credit card that has no limit. You know what I mean? So they already coming in.
No,
with
we wouldn't know what you're talking
mode.
About. None of us have one of those. Yeah.
None of us are that fortunate, but I mean, it's a message. And I remember the stories about, you know, when Deion came to the league. I remember the combine story where he just came in, ran the 40-yard dash, and ran out the back door, and there was a limo waiting on him. And he just skirted it off. But I mean, but his dad played DB. This kid plays quarterback.
Yeah,
he's going to be the face of the program, face of the league potentially. So it's kind of like, and EJ, I knew EJ was the one the Lord chose, man. Just, I knew he was some kind of college professor or something or whatever. He's like Potter the Pimp off of High High, man. And he just, like, he came on with it. You know what I mean?
Jay,
and he's right.
EJ has more degrees than all of us in the room combined. Like, that's been a fact for many, many, many years. Jay, thank you for the call. Haterade is what you guys are drinking. Sorry, Pearl, you wanted to say something about this.
I was about to say, that not only did Deion do that 40 thing, dude tried to play a baseball game and a football game in the same day. Like, Deion is, I mean, he was unprecedented. There's no way Shador, which is makes me think, like, you know, even the Deion-ness of it all, like, I'm sorry, it's just like part of it. Isn't it part of the story?
It is, but I think they were behaving like Shador had Deion's talent.
Yeah.
And, like, Deion could do that kind of thing because he's Deion Sanders. He's one of one. Shador, unfortunately, is not one of one. And I think Jay makes a good point, and it's one we've made, but, like, it bears repeating, which quarterback and cornerback are very different.
Well, can I ask a question? Yes. If Shador doesn't play for Cleveland, is Deion going to put his thumb on the process?
I don't know if that's going to work.
Is Deion going to try to do that through his many contacts?
Well, okay, then this is again like, are we learning lessons here or are we not? Because if the idea that Deion was involved in the process, right, and that could have hurt Shador,
well, all
do you double down and prove to people like, hey, I actually am going to be more involved? I get as a parent wanting to be involved, the instinct there, but
I'm answering that question for you. The answer is yes. Deion is going to call somebody if his son is not playing.
But that doesn't help him because no one wants to hear from dad. An NFL front office doesn't want to hear.
Deion's calling the Browns?
Yes.
Wow. There was a report that he already asked for a meeting, but I don't know if that's true. And I don't. Just out there on the internet, so we have no idea.
Well, it might not be directly the Browns. He might have, I don't know, President Trump tweet, hey, why is Joe Flacco out there? Let's get Shador out there. He might,
but that Trump tweet didn't do anything because that was after the first round.
He might. Who knows what he's going to do? No, I think it'll be settled. Yeah, I think every sports parent is going to ask for their kid to play. Let's start with that fact from Dylan Gabriel on down. But I think Deion has a lot of influence. Yeah, he knows everybody. EJ, you don't think that he can push this to some extent? Say, hey, you know what? Or even in front of a microphone, he could pick up a microphone and say, I think my son should be playing over Joe Flacco.
That's different.
And that's also different than him calling the Browns. That's why I asked that
question. I think he could. I don't think it's because he's a former player, very popular, current college. Yeah, I think he has a lot of connections. I think he could call somebody in the Browns and say, hey, what's the deal? Get my son out there.
Yeah, but the connections didn't work when he fell out of the first round and the second round and the third round and the fourth round. Like,
but
Jerry Jones didn't come in. Tom Brady didn't come in. None of the perceived, like, at least very public allies of Deion didn't come in to save Shador before the Browns came in at the fifth round.
I'm not saying it's going to work, but I think Deion, and I think a lot of sports parents would do the same thing. I mean, listen, we'll ask Bogus on youth sports. I mean, every sports parent is asking for more playing time. I think Deion, I'm not saying it'll work.
Do you think Jason Taylor's going to call the Jets if Mason Taylor's not playing?
Now, first of all, Mason Taylor's a tight end. He'll definitely get on the field.
He doesn't have no tight ends, but yes, in theory,
this is what I'm saying.
Question.
He's a Hall of Famer. Do you think he's going to call? Glenn and say, why is Mason not out there?
100% he would.
I don't know.
Yeah, he definitely would. But I don't, I mean, that's the thing. A quarterback really doesn't play. It's a binary position. You're either on the field or you're not. Everybody else, you can rotate in. That's a big part of this, too. He wouldn't have fallen if you could just play him on certain downs. Quarterback, you either start or you don't. You really don't think Deion will make a call to somebody in the Browns?
I'm not saying that. Yeah. I'm just saying, is it a good idea? Because we just saw your fame and influence may have been a detriment in this process. So do you really want to double down now?
Oh, because Deion is one who really becomes a shy violet in these situations. Yes, Deion, of course he's going to call Jimmy Haslam and say, dude, get my son on the field. Of course he'll do that.
I just don't know why you do that now. I get it. You can be who you want to be. And I get it as a parent, for sure. You only want the best for your kid. You want to protect them, all that stuff. But it's not working. Whatever the strategy was, it's not working, and I think we can all agree on that. So it's not about changing it up. We're not going to take a different approach here. We're just going to keep shoving this thing down everyone's throat. It did work.
Yeah, come on. This is Deion isn't going to change for anybody. If he was doing that, he's not going to stop doing it.
So was this more of a rebuke on Shador or Deion? Let us know.